Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, September 18th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 116, starting with the second paragraph. We have elsewhere remarked through two paragraphs ending with, if you possibly can. And the comments will be on both paragraphs. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kelly F., the 12 Traditions, Carol H., readers of the text are Marie J., Sherry K.B., and John K. The share ID for Monday, September 17th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,924. That's 11924. And for Tuesday, today, September 18th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,928. That is 11928. All right. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kelly F. to read the 12 steps. Kelly.
Thanks, Mo. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Good morning. This is Kelly F., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Pass.
And thank you, Kelly F. Now I'll ask Carol H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Carol H., recovered in Colorado. This is the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OAA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for your service, Mo, and for letting me do service today.
Thank you, Carol. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 116, Two Wives, the second paragraph. We have elsewhere remarked through two paragraphs ending with, if you possibly can. And I'm going to ask Marie J. to get us started.
Hi, Mo. It's Marie J. Can you hear me?
I can very clearly. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Marie J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and so grateful to be here. We have elsewhere remarked about how much better life is when lived on a spiritual plane. If God can solve the age-old riddle of alcoholism, he can solve your problems, too. We wives found that, like everybody else, we were afflicted with pride, self-pity, vanity, and all the things which go to make up the self-centered person. And we were not above selfishness or dishonesty. As our husbands began to apply spiritual principles to their lives, we began to see the desirability of doing so, too. At first, some of us did not believe we needed this help. We thought, on the whole, that we were pretty good women, capable of being nicer if our husbands stopped drinking. But it was a silly idea that we were too good to need God. Now, we try to put spiritual principles to work in every department of our lives. When we do that, we find it solves our problems, too. The ensuing lack of fear, worry, and hurt feelings is a wonderful thing. We urge you to try our program, for nothing will be so helpful to your husband as the radically changed attitude toward him, which God will show you how to have. Go along with your husband if you possibly can. Okay, this is just so great because, you know, my husband and I both grew up in a very strict Catholic upbringing and had a lot of prejudice. And when we were newly dating, I was involved in a different church, a New Age church, and I pretty much made it a requirement of our dating and our marriage that he attend to me. It was too important I wouldn't date him if he didn't. And so he did that, and but he never embraced it. He never embraced spirituality, and he never lived up to my standards and my expectations, so I was always mad, and he was always reluctant. So it was an issue in our marriage. And when I got into this program, I finally let go of that piece of control and stopped attending with him and stopped making him. And, you know, I really made amends on it. And I let go and I just started attending alone. But I also closed myself off spiritually to him because I was so afraid of his judgment and of my new relationship with higher power. And I was afraid to be me, and I was afraid to be vulnerable. And that also, that fear affected our marriage. And so eventually, with more surrender and more faith, I was able to start sharing vulnerably and sharing my experience of God without any expectation. And I just accepted where he was at. And today, it's really quite remarkable because he has found a spiritual connection on his own. And he sees the changes in me are real. And last night, he said that he feels so lucky and grateful to have met me and to have the growth that he has had in his life and spirituality. And it wouldn't have happened without me. And 5.5 years ago, we were almost divorced before I got into this program. And now we are in love and vulnerable and connected to the power in each our own ways. And I stay the heck out of his spiritual life. But he says to me when I'm in calamity, did you check in with your higher power? That's just a miracle. That's a miracle of his program. I was finally able to surrender my need for him to be somebody that he wasn't and to let go of expectations of who he should be. And today, he has his own concept of God. And I know that plugging into this power is greater than anything and has brought me something entirely unexpected and wonderful in my marriage, this shared relationship with a higher power that we don't have to define or agree on. And it's all about surrender, surrender, surrender. Surrender what I think I know and my self-righteous agenda. And then I can't be surprised, and I shouldn't be surprised when God shows up and fills my life with joy. Totally unexpected. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Marie J. That's a great start. So now I'll remind everybody we're on page 116, the second paragraph. We have elsewhere remarked, reading through two paragraphs, ending with if you possibly can. And I'll now take names of those who'd like to share.
Bruce E.
That's you, Bruce.
Mary Jane Z.
John K.
John K. Got the right initial. Any more?
Stacy T.
Gotcha, Stacy. A few more.
Rebecca T.
Rebecca,
Andrea F.
So I got Rebecca T. Who was that after Rebecca T?
Andrea S.
Andrea. Okay, we'll stop there. All right, I have Bruce E., Mary Jane Z., John K., Stacy T., Rebecca T., I think, and Andrea S. Okay, Bruce E., followed by Mary Jane Z.
Well, thank you, Mo, and thank you, excuse me, everybody on the line. I'm Bruce E. I'm recently recovered in North Carolina, and I appreciate that reading. I went through almost, I've been married 35 years, but I almost went through a divorce 4 years ago. And my wife and I just couldn't stand living with each other anymore. We just couldn't take it. But through this program, and through working these steps and surrender, our marriage is really a lot better. It's not perfect, but it's really good now. And my commitment today is just to work this program, surrender, stay abstinent, and to treat my wife really, really well. I'm really committed today to that. And I thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. Mary Jane Z, followed by John K.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you can. Good morning, Mary Jane.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Mary Jane Z, recovered in Kentucky. Grateful to have time to be on the line live. We have elsewhere remarked how much better life is when lived on a spiritual plane. Well, I got here, and it took me a while to understand there actually was a spiritual plane other than the plane I was on, because, my gosh, I had a higher power, and I'd been following the spiritual plane. And so I had to hang around for a while and observe and understand and work the steps to change planes and get on the beam of reality. And that seeing reality and accepting reality as it is a minute by minute process. And the other part that speaks out to me, we thought on the whole we were pretty good women, capable of being nicer if, and you can put if our whoever, it doesn't have to be husband, stop drinking. It can be if our neighbors stop, if my children stop, if. And once again, what is it that has to change? Oh, me, and me imposing my reality on everything. And I was reminded in listening to this, I'm in the process. I've lived in my home for 30 years, and a couple years ago I got the idea that I needed to declutter. So I ruthlessly decluttered, and whoops, I keep coming up with things where people are asking, where's that? And it's like, I got rid of that. Why'd I get rid of that? And now, through this gentle process of the steps, I'm gently tidying up my life and my house. And it's a day-by-day process. And these steps, while I work them tirelessly, I do not have to be ruthless with myself. I can be gentle with myself and look at my character defects and lovingly turn them over to my higher power. And my higher power will give me the nudge as to what needs to be kept and what needs to be dropped. So thanks. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Mary Jane Z. John K., followed by Stacy T. John.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks, everybody. Team Tuesday. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. In reading this section, I always think that this is an attempt here by Bill and the other people to try and help get the relationship of the people suffering in sync, as I guess is the best way to say it. Years ago, I think when I was a kid, I heard it first. There was an Al-Anon commercial that used to run that says, you know he has a problem, but the you know you do too. And I remember not understanding that till I came to program, but what Newton said about it, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And I think it's really true. And I've been on both ends of that. And my family was rife with alcoholism on both sides. And by that, I mean the disease, not the substance, because both of my parents were alcoholics, but mostly my mother's disease affected me the most. And her disease, her alcoholism, was instilled by my grandfather. The stories of whom I heard were just beyond terrible. He was a maniac. He was a tyrant. And you know what? He didn't drink. But he had the disease of alcoholism because he was an unrecovered Al-Anon. His father was a horrible alcoholic from the old country, Ireland, who supposedly beat him with dog chains. And so this is the family legacy I got, and how am I supposed to learn anything different? And of course, I didn't, and I ate and I drank, and it affected the people closest to me, and not in a good way. You know what? This didn't even occur to me until years into program. And why? Because I was so into the disease of self that anything outside of myself went almost unnoticed, and it wasn't until I got better that I could really see how I affected others, my first wife wouldn't know how I was going to react at any time, which is the good John or bad John coming around. Was he going to be the crazy person on the hunt for the perfect restaurant while we're on vacation? And this actually happened. We're driving around. I'm trying to find that. No, I don't want to go to that one. No, let's see. And finally she turned to me and said, John, there's no restaurant that's going to change your life. And yet there was a part of me that did, And so the other thing is we come in and we do get better and we start to change. And a lot of times we change reasonably quickly. And then we expect everybody around us to turn on the same dime. But, is this a real change? They probably think, because how many diets had I started? How many times I swore, we're going to change the way I'm eating for good, with the quote marks around for good, And so things have started to change, luckily, today I'm married to somebody who's in program and understands the step. Luckily, our relationship for the most part is in sync. We have higher powers and we're not it. And the other one is not it for us either, but it wasn't always that way. I always joke and I'll end with saying that, my poor first wife, she got John 1.0, he was sober technically. But he was full of personality bugs. And then between my two marriages, I was in a long-term relationship with somebody, and she got John 2.0. And It was better, but now in my current marriage, my wife deals with John 3.0. But, you know, there's still some bugs there, and that's why, you know, John 4.0 is in beta testing, which is coming to these meetings, continuing to work the steps, talk to my sponsor, and to try to be the person they talk about in this book. And I don't think I'll ever get there totally because these are ideals, but I move more toward it every day. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. Stacy T, followed by Rebecca T. Stacy.
Good morning, Stacy T in Cleveland. Thanks for your service. And wanted to just briefly chime in on this. I have been affected by somebody else's drinking, and it permeated through everything and everyone, and especially my belief about safety and wanting to control, needing to control, and all the other pieces that perhaps at that time were important but became impediments that I discovered while doing my fourth step, as well as when I look at the 10th step. And today, the place I take the spiritual principles, well, it's everywhere to the best of my ability. And it's a lot in my work place, because that's the place that I spend most of my time. And so I have prayers and meditations and all to do with each particular person that I see, so that that I bring higher power in to me and through me to be not just an example, but to shine through that I don't know, that I am not the source, and that together there's usually nothing that can't be elevated to another degree of understanding. And in closing, I had a conversation with a family member, and I was delighted but kind of ticked off that I didn't know that they might be coming to town in a couple of weeks. So I spoke to the other family member about, you know, how come I didn't know. And I started doing a 10-step about it, and gratefully was able to talk to my family member and, you know, got to hear, well, it wasn't really on the table yet, and sorry I didn't have an opportunity to tell you or think that you would, you know, want to know. And I'm so grateful that while I feel still some nervousness and shyness and anxiety about asking for what I need and want, I'm grateful that the pain and suffering of holding it in and acting sideways about it creates more pain and misery. So choosing what's most uncomfortable, I generally choose to be in the presence of loving guidance. And I'm so grateful to the wives, and I'm grateful to the fellowship that has helped those of us who have qualified for that program as well. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Stacy T. Rebecca T, followed by Andrea S.
Hey, guys. It's Rebecca T from Central California. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom. Thank you for my higher power speaking through all of you and this chapter. I've been speaking a few times lately as, you know, this, I am struggling right now in my marriage. And I think it's probably, you know, a combination of things and, you know, many years of stuff. And I'm just wondering if, you know, even in my past, I'm on the 10th step now. In this wonderful walk, and I feel like I'm on a teeter-totter. You know, my emotions are, I know I want to work towards love and kindness and patience and tolerance, regardless whether he is acting the way I want him to or he's not acting the way I want him to. And that's, of course, that's sort of where that teeter-totter is. And I'm realizing that, you know, my ego and my emotions will sway according to that. And so I hear that, yes, I need to pause. I need to have patience. And I know that in time and through taking these steps and reaching out to my fellows that, you know, my higher power is going to lead me towards that light. And I hear everyone else's optimism and positive outcomes near the end. And so I believe in that too, and I do have hope. So in the meantime, I'll just keep coming back and keep listening and keep absorbing. And I have faith, and I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca T. Before Andrea, let me tell everybody where we are again. We're on page 116, starting with the second paragraph. We have elsewhere, reading through two paragraphs, if you possibly can. And Andrea S., and then after Andrea, I'll open up the lines for more to share. Andrea.
Hi, Andrea S. from Arizona. I love this first paragraph. We've remarked how much better life is when lived on a spiritual plane. I was one of those people who thought the problem was out there with the alcoholic. And even though I, at some level, knew that I was prideful and felt like a victim and was self-centered and dishonest in my own life, of course, those personality issues weren't nearly as destructive as the act of alcoholism. And unfortunately, my partner did not thrive in the program, and so that's no longer an issue for me. I'm not with him. But the more that I discovered that, you probably all heard the live and let live, I mean, that slogan to me took on new meaning when I realized that anybody's issue, no matter who it was in my life, was not really my business. That my business is my life and my program. And when I started looking at my life in a spiritual way, and those personality defects began dissolving with the help of God, my life qualitatively improved. And it's just been not a steady march forward, because there's always, for me, a default when I'm under stress or I don't get enough sleep. You know, I can default to some of those old patterns. But the thing is, the beauty is that God is always here. And when I remember to confide in him in all of my affairs, the selfishness, the self-pity, all of that dissolves. And when my life can really become around service and loving service, it means that the changes are all in myself, in my own mind, in my own perspective, in the way I look at things and people. And so I just make very, very different choices. But there's nothing to me that's any more important than living life on a spiritual plane, because I feel like it's making me the best me that I can be. And that's my goal, is just to be the best that I can be today and let life take care of itself. As long as I'm doing loving service, then I'm where I want to be. So thank you for listening. Thank you all for your service and for being on this line, and I will pass.
And thank you, Andrea S. I'll now open the lines up for those who'd like to share on these two paragraphs.
Wendy B.
Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy B.
B. Okay, got you, Wendy. Any others?
Sandy D.
Chevy K.
Sherry K. B.
Chevy K. And Sherry K. B. Who was that after Sherry K. B.?
Sandy D.
I got Sandy. I got you, Sandy. I think it was a Jordan. Was there a Jordan?
Yes.
Jordan. Jordan L.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I got Wendy B, Sandy B, Chevy K, Sherry K B, Jordan L. Maybe one more?
Adam S.
Adam S. Okay. We'll stop there. Good group. All right. Wendy B, followed by Sandy B.
Hi, this is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And the line where it says, you know, if God can solve the age-old riddle of alcoholism, he can solve your problems too. And when I married my husband, I was codependent, you know, and he needed me to do for him, you know, and I needed to be needed. And it wasn't, you know, based on mutual love for each other. It was codependency. And in my Al-Anon program, I learned, you know, that I can't do for him what he should do for himself. So I stopped enabling him. And I was constantly then became the judge of what he should do for himself. And recently, since being recovered, I'm looking at the hardness of my heart toward him and my lack of love, you know, and I'm always, you know, being the judge of what he should do for himself and thinking in my mind he's just being lazy, you know. And so I had a discussion with my sponsor last night and about it, and she shared with me an internet story of a man who was going to divorce his wife, and then her last request was that he carry her over the threshold of their home for a month, you know. And at first I thought it was just really corny, you know, and it couldn't possibly be real. But then God kind of opened my heart and my mind to the idea that if I do acts of service for my husband, God can use that to change my heart. So starting today, you know, I'm going to do acts of love out of service, you know, and to see if it works, you know. And then the line where it says, nothing will be so helpful to your husband is to see the radical changed attitude toward him, which God will show you how to have. So I believe this is God showing me how to change my heart. And so that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Sandy B, followed by Chevy K.
Hi, this is Sandy D. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thanks so much for your service. This is Sandy D, recovered in Central Illinois. And actually, when we started this chapter, oh, man, I guess I did a resentment on it almost every day, because this chapter was my life of living with alcoholics and other addicts for over 40 years. And so when I came into Vision a little over a year ago, I came in with a lot of bitterness, but it's like working the steps have changed me. They have put me on a spiritual plane that I was never on before. I guess I always thought I was religious, but I was definitely like everyone else that's afflicted with pride, self-pity, vanity, and all the things that go to make up self-centered persons. I was definitely very self-centered, and I never saw myself as a problem. And even like with reading the doctor's opinion and identifying in finally with somebody said yesterday about poor me, poor me, pour me another drink. Well, poor me, poor me, pour me another bag of chocolate chip cookies, and that was me. And using the food as my solution to deal with the addiction in my life. And, you know, I've had a few anniversaries lately, a year of recovery, and next month it'll be a year past my divorce. And it's just like, yeah, life just throws challenges at us every day. And you can stay in that poor me mode, and you can go back to the food, or you can choose. You can choose to work the steps. You can choose to be in service to other people. You can choose. You have choices. And my choice is to be hopeful. My choice is to not let this to the wives define who I am. My choice is to see myself as a recovered person instead of someone that's always going to be a victim. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy B. Chevy K, followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, this is Chevy K. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Just speak up a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Okay. My name is Debbie Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in New Jersey, and I just wanted to take a minute or two to share my truth. Reading this paragraph this morning, it really resonated with me. I have a very difficult relationship with my husband, and I am in the process of writing an amends to him. I can get very stuck in the buts. My part is X, but he still is Y. You know, I can get very caught up in my story. And instead of looking at my part, I focus on his. So again, I just want to share my truth. And it's scary for me to write this amends. It's scary for me to share this amends with him. I'm filled with a lot of criticism, anger, self-righteousness, better than he should. And I really want to work on that. And I want to put my best foot forward. And it's like 2 steps forward and 2 steps back. But in the process, I really do feel my heart softening. And I do feel the changes. The changes are very slow for me. It's like peeling the onion layers very slowly and painfully. But I feel myself, improving. I feel that there's more of an awareness of my character defects. And I guess the point of my share is that I just want to say, you know, anyone out there who's struggling, whether it's a marital relationship or other difficult relationships, don't give up on the process. It may be slow, but it's effective, and God will outline your path for you. God will outline your rate of recovery, and he will define your relationship in the way that he wants them to be. So I wish everyone success and hope and love and growth. And with that, have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Chevy K. Sherry KB, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line, and welcome any newcomers. It is so easy for me to go into the other fellowship about this these paragraphs, but I'm really going to try to stick to this program. And what it's telling me here is that God can solve the old riddle of compulsive overeating for me, and that means God can solve any of my problems too, and that includes my relationships, especially the ones closest to me. And I didn't believe that at first, you know. And it's telling me that if I live my life on a spiritual basis and depend on my higher power in every day, in every department of my life, that my problems will be solved, and that it will become less of fear and worry and hurt feelings. But, you know, I'm still going to have them, because it tells us in this first paragraph on 117, but that all problems will not be solved at once, and the seeds are planted and sprouted, and it's begun to change, and I'll find a new happiness, ups and downs still, because a lot of people hear us on the line, and yes, there's a lot of us recovered, and we have put the food down, and we are abstinent, and we are working the steps, and we're living in 10, 11, 12. We still have problems, because we have a life, and it's just the difference to me is that when I include God in everything, the problems are still there, but they're so different, and they're so much more easier to solve, because I've got my higher power with me in all departments of my life, and that, you know, only God can change me. And the one thing that I noticed is that, you know, since I've had the food down, I have become to know the person I am underneath all that pile of food for all those years. And the parallel, interesting to me, is that, you know, when I would get to a certain amount of food and that became not enough, then I had to have more, and then I had to more, and had to have more. And you know what? I noticed that with fixing and wanting other things in my life, that it got that good, then I'd want my husband to do this or do that or whoever do this or do that. And I never realized the parallel until I worked the steps and got into this book. And so with that, I know I can't change that, but God can. God can help me solve all my problems and can, you know, remove my fear, my anxiety, my doubt, my fear, doubt, and insecurity, my restless, irritable, and discontent. I can't do it by myself. And so if I can't fix me, what makes me think I can even fix somebody else? That's what I, a long time ago, and I'll just finish with this, somebody said, you know, Sherry, when you figure out all your problems, then you can start, you know, you can start figuring out everybody else's problems. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Jordan L., followed by Adam S.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can, Jordan.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And I got to tell you, I'm not in Al-Anon. I've had quite a bit of trouble reading this chapter, actually. Only because I just have trouble relating to the wife sometimes, you know. And who knows, maybe that's the next frontier or whatever. But at this point, I've just been reading along with you guys and trying to relate, you know, trying to identify in here. And I'm happy to say today is the first time I feel like I can. So first, I want to say that coming into this program, I was not someone who believed in God. Or I guess I shouldn't say I wasn't someone who believed in God. I was not someone who liked God. I didn't like the idea of God. I didn't like people who liked the idea of God. I thought that it was stupid to try to like lead a life led by God and preach that to other people and this and that. And I truly thought I was one of those people who thought that intellect was the alpha, the omega, the end and the beginning and blah, 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 right? And so I was pretty heartbroken when I conceded to my innermost self that I was a real compulsive overeater and that I was completely and totally powerless over this. Because I it turns out under all of that, like I had this God that I didn't trust. I had this God from childhood, of course, I didn't trust and I really didn't want anything to do with. So that idea of open-mindedness in step two and being able to blow to release entirely all old conceptions we have because we have to find something new. We have to. That was very important for me. Very, very, very important for me. And it turns out this guy, Nathan, that I live with, my boyfriend, for the last couple of years now, he was going to be the one who was going to introduce me to a loving, caring, to my God, to what I've come to understand as God now. And this was someone that I was like, I had always seen be like a kind person. I had always seen him like he was always kind to other people. He was always opening doors and offering to help people for no reason. For like days at a time, you know what I mean? Like he'd go up to Granby and offer to help my parents build this barn that they're building for like 2 days. And I wasn't even willing to do that. And they're my parents. I'll wrap it up. A really sweet guy, right? And we sat down one night and we talked about this God that he's had all along. And it like literally blew my world open that night. So anyway, glad to relate to the wives today. Happy to be on the line with you guys, and that's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Adam S.
Hi, is it Adam S? Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hi, Adam S., compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Regular listener on Tuesdays, and grateful to have the opportunity to share. I once heard a rabbi say that there are two types of people in this world. There are people who are in 12-step programs, and there are people who need 12-step programs. And as we were reading, I just thought back. Many people on the line know way more of the history than I do of the Big Book. I could only imagine the debate over whether to include this chapter or not. Program of attraction rather than promotion, and they're saying to the wives, hey, this way is good for everybody. And I can see a part of me in early recovery that would have a reaction to it. I don't have any reaction to it today. I don't have any energy in whether this was written or not. I woke up after I got abstinent. I woke up over the years to the idea that I am completely self-involved. And I want to be right, and I want what's mine. And when I do that, I don't create a safe atmosphere for others. So a spiritual basis in a relationship to me is really speaks to the self-centered, self-involved condition that I have, and that's always trying to support why I'm right, why I'm wrong, and why you're wrong, and driven by even why I'm wrong, but driven, it's all invested so much in preoccupation with me and what's going on with me. And the spiritual basis in a relationship for me, and this is the ideal, hopefully I can grow towards this, is how do I protect the environment with God's help from my self-involvement and being right, and because it hurts when I need to be right. It hurts others. How do I create safety so people can be okay? And to me, I need to live on a spiritual basis to do that. I can't do that just with ideas. I can't do that with the same engine that drives compulsive eating, dieting. That's not the engine that's going to be able to think about how I'm affecting others and trying to bring kindness. I need a lot of help with that. So I read these words, and it's just good practice. This spiritual basis. I can speak for myself. You know, I can't speak for other people. It's just a good way of living. And you know, I'm not caught up in how they sold, you know, the selling point of that, right? In general, I do better speaking from my own experience, rather than just sort of speculating. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Adam F. We have time for one more share if there's someone who would like to share.
Sarah N.
Sarah N.
Yes.
Okay, we'll let you go, Sarah.
Hey, Mo, I came on late, and I think I figured out pretty much where you're at, but can you just give me the first paragraph?
Yeah, the first paragraph is, we have elsewhere remarked, page 116.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. All right. So I've heard a lot, you know, of the sharers talking about other people, and what I can say for me as a recovered compulsive overeater with this chapter is I can just replace the word husband with mother and others. And earlier in the chapter, it talks about being a tornado roaring through the lives of others. And so there's so much in this chapter that I'm having to really, look at and relate to and do. And I'm so grateful for this program that I have the opportunity to finally see, you know, my part, to see all the years of self-pity, of victimhood, of self, of knowing better than others, and so grateful for the recovery of being able to take accountability for my part, for my actions, and make amends, in the it's a long road of reconstruction, but with the loving guidance of a higher power, it's just miraculous as I do one right thing after another each day. And I keep showing up. I just want to say I'm so grateful for all of you out there who have been there to inspire me, to support me. And I'm so grateful to be able to give back every day. And that's, you know, the main thing that I have come to learn and understand from this program. So I am grateful that we have embarked on a much better life. I definitely am on a completely different spiritual plane. And yeah, and if God can solve the old age, riddle of alcoholism, he can definitely solve the new age riddle of compulsive overeating, and has, as witnessed by so many on these lines with our recovery. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sarah N. And I want to thank all those who were on the line and those who gave service today, Kelly F., Carol H., Marie J., Sherry K.B., and John K. And I will now ask Sherry K.B. will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sherry, will you please read that for us?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.